Welcome to the All Hoops Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Inman, and I'm joined by co-host Chris Brito. The playoffs are here, so Chris and I will break down all the matchups, including our Knicks playing the Sixers in the playoffs for the first time in our lifetimes. They haven't played since 1989. Lots to get to. Before we get to that, Chris, my friend, the producer to the stars, how are you?
What's up, Stevie, baby? I'm so excited to have our Knicks back in the playoffs. I think we have a pretty good matchup against the Philadelphia 76ers. I think we'll probably win in five games, but we can break that all down and see like why we think the way we do. I know you think six games, but I think it's a matter of just semantics at this point. I really like this matchup for our team. I think we have shown that we can sort of contain and beat a little bit. I think we showed it in one of the games earlier this year where we destroyed Philly in Philly. So I think at the very least, we've shown that we're not afraid of them. We've beaten them three times this year and only lost once. That being said, Embiid is going to be the best player on the court if he turns out to be healthy. But he didn't look healthy against the Miami Heat on Wednesday night. So that being said, what are your thoughts on this series, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, you're playing against a guy who averaged almost 35 points a game. You know, they haven't really lost. I think they're 7-0 or 8-0 since Embiid came back from his injury. Mm-hmm. So you're playing a hot team with an MVP candidate. It's not ideal for a two seed, right? You're kind of hoping for a much easier matchup than that. I'm a little curious if it was wise to go all out for that two seed when you could have probably lost that Bulls game and went for, you know, Indiana, Orlando, Cleveland, somebody who's a much better matchup. But at the same time, I feel good about the Knicks. They're playing really well. Brunson, obviously, has been unbelievable. He's probably going to finish top five in MVP voting. I think it's going to be a really lot of fun. I don't know about five or six, something around those lines. I mean, six would be in Philly. So I'm not sure if they're going to close it out in Philly, right? But at the same time, I'm very much excited for this series. Saturday is going to be incredible. I think you and I both agree the Knicks are going to take this one. But it's going to be a hard-fought series. It's going to come down to Joel Embiid's health. How healthy is he? Is he 70% right now? Is he 50%, 80%? I think the number you're going to hear will fluctuate based on how they're doing in the series. If they're doing poorly, you're going to hear, oh my God, I can't believe Joel Embiid is even trying to play. Like, how courageous of him. And then if they're, you know, they're winning, it's going to be he's feeling good. It was good that he got the rest. So Mitchell Robinson and Isaiah Hartenstein, both of whom have had excellent defensive years, are going to have their work cut out for them. And I think the key to the series on Philly's side is going to be Embiid's health, obviously, and which has been the same key for them for the last like 8 years in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And the key to the Knicks side is going to be Hartenstein and Mitchell Robinson staying out of foul trouble. Can those guys stay on the court against Embiid? He's going to get his 30. Can he do it inefficiently? Can he not? Can it be 11 rebounds versus 18 rebounds? Like, those are going to be the keys to the series.
Yeah, and I think the other thing too, assuming Embiid is, to me, if you're playing, you're healthy, right? I know we'll disagree on like
scale
and range, but like if you're shooting up, you can't be expected to be treated differently. So here's going to be my frustration. No matter what happens, the Knicks are going to come out as losers. I'll tell you, this is why. If the Knicks beat the Sixers, it's because, oh, the Knicks should have won. They should have swept because Embiid wasn't fully healthy. If the Knicks lose, it'll be because they didn't tank for that fourth seed or third seed.
It's not even tanking, but it's like last game, the Bulls went so hard for no reason. They were a 9 seed. They were locked in. And they're, you know, basically tied with like 6 minutes to go. That's the time to pull the guys, if that's what you wanted to do. Brunson's already out of the game at that point. They put him back in. DiVincenzo played 50 minutes in that game. So it's like, not tanking. It's more just taking your foot off that gas pedal and saying, okay, Let's see who these other guys can these other guys do it, right? Now, who knows? I mean, is a 3-6 matchup with the Pacers, is that much better? It's going to be a track meet. Anything can happen there. But I do agree with you. If the Knicks do lose the series, that'll be the first thing people kind of bring up, that they should have not won that Bulls game.
And that's what's like kind of frustrating, because why should the team that tried, the team that like didn't rest their guys, like why should they be penalized for this narrative? Like it's not fair, but
I really think going forward, they should allow the higher seeds to pick the playing team they want to face. I mean, obviously, you can have a lot of, bulletin board material there. It'll be much more entertaining, right? If all of a sudden the Knicks pick the Heat and, that a team with Heat culture and motivation got more motivation, but you would definitely pick the Heat right now with the injury. So I think that's definitely something they should consider in the future.
I wonder how that would work though, right? A team would be like, okay, Knicks, pick your opponent, and Tom Thibodeau's gonna be like, give us whoever. I don't know, like,
Well, you have to pick.
right? But I wonder how a guy like that would sort of like navigate how they would choose. But whatever, we're getting beside
Front office would probably tell them who to choose based on numbers, but I don't think that's
the
something that's going to happen.
Yeah. Anyway, we think the Knicks are going to win anyway. One of my good friends, one of our, well, one of my good friends, Steph, he's a Sixers fan. So it'll be fun when the Knicks beat the Sixers and we can brag a little bit.
Yeah, fair enough. Playoffs are going to be excellent. Knicks obviously are going to be a big part of that, but around the league, there's a lot of really great matchups. Obviously, I think you and I, we talked before the show about predictions for this. We both kind of thought a lot of these are going to be longer series, which is exactly what you're looking for. The one we didn't think so was the Celtics playing either the Heat or the Bulls. Obviously, Jimmy Butler's hurt, so we're thinking Bulls right now, but who knows? You and I both kind of think Celtics in four, correct?
Oh yeah.
Okay,
I
so we're just
mean,
gonna move on from that one. But
yeah, it's not worth talking about.
yeah, it's gonna be a
Well,
tune-up for
actually,
Boston. They're gonna play the winner of Cavaliers Magic, which we'll go over now. I think this is gonna be a very interesting series because the Magic remind me a little bit of what Cleveland was last year, which is like the happy to be there team almost. Like it's been so long since they've been in the playoffs. And they have a chance in this matchup. Obviously, it's a 4-5, but I think Cleveland's experience in the playoffs, getting guys like Mobley and Allen and Garland with the bright lights, I think that's really going to be helpful to them this time around. They also have home court advantage. I'm going to take a Cleveland in seven.
I think I'll probably take them in like six or five. I think the Cavaliers just have more offensive options than the Orlando Magic. You know, the Orlando Magic, they have two big bodies that can be put on their two wings that score. And I don't know, I just nobody besides Paolo Banchero on that Orlando Magic team like strikes fear on the offensive end. And as you know, in the playoffs, like a lot of the things that you did in the regular season, you can get away with. But in the playoffs, you can't. Like we saw it a few years ago when the Hawks played the Knicks. Like the Hawks essentially neutralized Randle and we had no offense. So I'm not saying that it's going to be the same scenario by a T with the Orlando Magic and the Cavs, but like, you neutralize their biggest playmaker, and like, what do the Magic do? And we already know that they have struggles with their late game offense. So I think I just can't see the Magic winning, but I think the Cavaliers are going to win this easily.
Yeah, and if they don't, I would be very surprised if Donovan Mitchell was a Cav next year.
Yeah.
I
I don't
might be
think he's
surprised
going
if
to have
Donovan Mitchell's a
anyway.
Cav next year anyway,
Right. That's
but
right.
I think this will be a nice experience for Orlando. Get themselves a point guard this summer, and they'll be ready to compete next year. Moving on, other East matchup, the Bucks, the 3 seed that really, is this the most upset 3 seed you've ever seen? Everyone thinks they're kind of done. Giannis now is hurt. He's clearly not going to be ready for game one. It's unclear where he's going to be after that. Chris, the Pacers gave them fits this whole year. They won 4 out of 5 against the Bucks, including in a pivotal in-season tournament matchup that got the Pacers to the final. Chris, I'm taking the Pacers. I'm taking them in 6 games.
I think we also agree on that one, because the Bucks clearly, like, they need an offseason to be under Doc Rivers and all that jazz. It's the ever since he joined the team, it doesn't seem like they're on the same page yet. That being said, I think the Pacers are going to beat the Bucks with or without Giannis. I just don't see. I think for the Bucks, it was like the worst nightmare for them. I think they just don't match up well with the Pacers. They can't stop the Pacers. Lillard cannot be in front of Tyrese Halliburton. So I don't know. I just don't see it.
And Halliburton hasn't looked like an all-NBA first team guy the way he did in, you know, December, January. I wonder if the week off basically here can give them enough rest to get that burst back. Because if he is as explosive as he was then, they have no chance. Like, Halliburton, I think, is going to outplay Damian Lillard in the series. And if you don't have a healthy Giannis, you're really hoping that what, like, Chris Middleton can turn back the clock and average 30 a game. Like, what? I don't even see the path for the Bucks to win this series if Giannis isn't healthy. So, yeah, we actually agree. I didn't think we would. We actually agree on all four of our Eastern Conference picks. So moving over to the Western Conference, where you and I both, you know, I think we disagree on a couple of these. Starting with the number one seed, the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're going to play the winner of Sacramento, New Orleans. I think both of us kind of think that's going to be Sacramento right now because of Zion's injury. Can the Kings with Fox and Sabonis, can they make this competitive?
I think they can probably steal 2 games. I think it'll be like a 4-2 sort of deal. To me, the Kings just don't have anybody that can stop OKC's like talented like guards, you know. That's basically what it comes down to.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm gonna say Thunder in 5. They would play the winner of Clippers Mavericks. This to me was the hardest series to predict of all the playoffs. We've seen 2 epic series with these two already in the last couple years, where Luka basically by himself nearly carried them to victory. Now he's got some help. Now he's got Kyrie Irving. Kyrie had his most successful season basically since his early Boston days. And so, Chris, 4-5, Clippers, home field advantage. What are you thinking here?
I think the Mavs are going to win. I think ever since the Clippers had their really, like, they had a good few months, but then they sort of fizzled out the last month or so of the season. Meanwhile, the Mavericks are like one of the hottest teams in the NBA, and Luka's chemistry with Kyrie is just undeniable. I think those two have like figured how to play with each other and get the most out of this team with what they have. And, you know, is Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, are those guys going to step up? Is James Harden going to be in their way? Like, I think these are all valid questions entering the series, but I think the Mavericks are going to win. I think it'll probably be a 7-game series, which is what we hope.
Yeah, I think this is going to be the best one. I'm going to take the Clippers in 7 here. I think Kawhi Leonard is just going to have one of those, oh, wait, Kawhi is that guy kind of series, where he's going to just emerge as a, you know, offensively, defensively, just being unbelievable. I like their depth. I mean, you know, they've gotten some pretty good production out of their bench units. Obviously, Dallas's team has really transformed since the trade deadline when they acquired Daniel Gafford, who for a while, he might still be doing it, but he was leading the league in field goal shooting. It's because it's all dunks, right? But he was basically being like a better Mitchell Robinson offensively in the last couple of months. And then, you know, you get him and PJ Washington. So I think it's going to be a great matchup. I'm just going to take the Clippers, give them the home field, even though is it really a home field with the Clippers? I don't know, but
yeah,
I'm committed to this, so I'm taking the Clippers.
Yeah, I mean, and then the other one that we both are in tune with are the Suns versus the Timberwolves. I really like the Wolves. I just hate this matchup for them. And all year, Anthony Edwards has, for whatever reason, struggled against the Phoenix Suns. And if you don't have Edwards sort of like doing his thing, like the Wolves have no shot. I think the Suns will win it in six games. But here's where I expect the mastery of like Booker and Kevin Durant to really show out. Like, I don't know. To me, the only thing that the Wolves have that could be an X factor, I guess, could be like if Karl Anthony Towns is like back at full strength. But I just don't see it.
Yeah, I don't see it either. Especially because one of the things the Timberwolves have had so much success with is just guys who challenge Rudy at the rim fail. Like, he's just been one of the better rim protectors we've seen in many years. And this is one of the better jump shooting teams in Phoenix. They're going to be able to shoot over him. If, you get Grayson Allen involved, I think he led the league in 3-point shooting for a while. They might be able to play Rudy off the floor the way that other teams have the last couple of years in the playoffs. And so I think this is just a bad matchup for Minnesota.
That's like in part why I was saying the Karl Anthony Towns thing is going to be big, because you're not going to be able to play Rudy. You just can't.
You're 40 million a year defensive player of the year. You can't
Your
play him. And
boy.
I think that's true, but it's like that's the way it goes. So we'll be curious there. Sorry to our good buddy Mitch, who's a T-Wolves fan. We both picked against them. Last series, Denver Lakers. The Nuggets have won 8 straight against the Lakers. Can the Lakers make this a competitive series?
No. I
Yeah, I don't
think
either. I think we're gonna see a couple of
we'll probably
great
see
teams. Go ahead.
A legacy LeBron game where he steals like game one, and everybody be like, oh, maybe the Lakers have a chance. But no.
Yeah, I was gonna say the same thing. I think Denver in 5. We've never really agreed this much, but
Yeah,
I think we
I don't
agreed
like
on 7 of the 8 series. It's just the Laker, I'm sorry, the Clipper Maverick one, and I don't even feel great about that.
and
So
even that one is like a toss-up. Like
yeah.
you could have convinced me either way too.
Yeah, so those are our picks. Hopefully we'll get a great first round. I think this will be one of the more entertaining first rounds we've had in a long time, Chris.
Well, I feel like generally speaking, the first round is just a lot more exciting, a little bit more. There's a little more parity, with the exception of the 1-8s. The one thing I wanted to say about the Knicks that I forgot to bring up earlier is that while it's true that, we have the second seed and like obviously we have a tougher opponent with the Sixers, we do get home court advantage for another round. And I think those little things like sort of matter in the end. This is all assuming we make it to the next round, but I just
Right. I
wanted.
mean, if you get a healthy Giannis next round, right? Like having that home game to start, that's huge. Like that might come down to the Knicks making the Eastern Conference Finals and not making the Eastern Conference Finals. So, yeah. All right, Chris, let's get to our final thoughts. This is something we had a long debate with yesterday, where there was reports of like Jalen Brunson could be interested in taking the extension. This summer, the most money the Knicks can give him this summer is 4 years, $156.5 million. Comes out to about $39 million a year, or does he wait and try to get a supermax from the Knicks for $270 million as a free agent in a year? Chris, I don't know what he should do, but if the Knicks, if he is interested in the extension now, as a 6-foot-2 guard who's really emerged the king of New York, I would be signing him immediately if he was interested in taking the extension this summer.
Listen, if the Knicks can somehow convince them to do that, I mean, that's a huge point for the Knicks. That being said, if I was his agent or if I were him, I would totally wait another season and get more money. Like, there's no reason why I should be leaving money on the table, especially when even next season, I think project it like we'll have Randall back, so I feel like the load will be slightly easier.
No, but like Brunson has been here for 2 years now, right? And Randall has been his running mate for 1.5 years. And in that time, they both basically led the league in minutes. So I don't think the load will be lessened because Randle's around. I think this
Well,
is
I guess
Thibodeau run those guys into the ground.
I'm just saying there's less of a playmaking burden, but you're right. I guess my point was that if I'm him, I'm going to have more help coming in whatever fashion it's going to look like with Randle. So he can still like play well, but he'll have a buffer there. Be like, oh, you know, why are your numbers the same as last year? Well, I have Randle back, so some of the statistics might not be the same. All this to say, I would just wait if I'm him. If the Knicks can sign him now, do it. Like, don't even.
I mean, he's a 6-foot-2 guard who has kind of gone the same. I'm not saying he's Isaiah Thomas with the Celtics, but it's the same numbers. They both, all-star caliber first year starters, second year emerged MVP candidate, 29 a game, top of the Eastern Conference. Then IT within a year, he's hurt. He's traded to Cleveland. His career kind of ends, right? He's still bouncing around, whatever.
But that to me is like such a doomsday scenario. I mean, which
But
obviously is
like when
very
you're
valid.
signing life-changing money, which both of these numbers are,
Yeah.
you have to explore both options. You have to explore best case scenario, worst case scenario. And worst case scenario is Thibodeau runs him into the ground. And to me, it's not impossible to think how many times have we seen him limping around on the court this year alone? Like if he misses 30 games next
Well,
year, he's not getting $270 million. He might not get $270 million anyway. Like they might be, they might have to convince him, hey, like we need you to take 220 so we can bring in other guys. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I kind of thought OG Anunoby was looking at 4 years and a similar number to the one he's going to be eligible for. And Brunson can't not be the highest paid guy on the team. Like you can't have OG Anunoby, who's a nice wing, making the same money as you. So it's going to be a very delicate dance for the Knicks where they have to try to keep this core together at the cheapest price they can because, they're clearly going to be a team over the cap. Dolan's going to have to pay more money for this team than he's paid in his, 20 plus seasons as an owner. So he's going to be tested. But at the same time, because of the new cap rules, they're going to be really restricted in the things they do in terms of trades, in terms of draft picks, in terms of all these things, where saving a couple bucks on Brunson's deal here and OG's deal there, it could add up into something where they could bring in another key guy a year from now, 2 years from now, that can make the difference between a championship and not.
I think this playoff run will be a good referendum as to what the team looks like with what the team looks like today. What I'm trying to say is, this is what the team looks like without Julius Randle.
Doesn't
And
look
I
too
think
bad.
it doesn't look too bad. All this to say that I feel like this thought is not just we're not certainly the only ones thinking this. I'm sure the Knicks front office is thinking
Hopefully.
similarly. Like, especially a very forward-thinking and money-crunching sort of operation like theirs. Like, they are thinking, okay, like, you know, they did the same thing with Quickley and RJ, you know? Like, what makes you think that they're not thinking about Randle either? Like, they definitely
Right.
are. So, all this to say, if the Knicks can sign him to an extension this summer, by all means do it. I'm also, you know, I'm disappointed Brunson didn't make the Olympics,
I'm
but
not. I'm thrilled.
oh, hold on, I was just gonna say, I'm also happy for him because he can actually like rest the summer. Like he played last for the FIBA tournament, so that's what, almost a year of nonstop basketball. So,
And I'm sure Thibodeau is coaching practices intensely. It's not like he's like, let's take it easy today. Brunson had a 45-minute workload the other day. So the idea of him being able to take a couple months off, I think, is going to be really good for him and good.
I will say though, I know you disagree. So whatever, but I need to say it. I do think that there's something to preparing your players with a high minutes workload, because the postseason is a much different beast. You know, I think you're.
If the players physically survive the Thibodeau season, which they didn't all do that, if they physically survive the season, they're usually better prepared for the playoffs. I totally agree with you there.
Okay. All right. That was less argumentative than I thought.
No, I mean, he gets the best out of his guys. I just don't agree with there's it's an 18-point game and there's 4 minutes left. Let's keep Julius Randle in. Let's keep Brunson in. And we've done this a million times. We're probably gonna do a million more. But the point is, if I'm Brunson, I'm not scoffing at 40 million a year, which I don't have to wait for. That's money in my pocket right now. It's security for my family, my kids, my grandkids, my great grandkids, right? 40 million a year can pay for that. And I don't have to worry about anything else in my career. So,
Yeah. All right.
not saying he should take it if if I'm him, I probably personally would, because again, 40 million a year, like I'm gonna wait for what, 50 million a year in a year and hope everything works out. And that's assuming the Knicks will even give him that. Like, who knows? Like, this is the Knicks. Remember, we were waiting on the Porzingis deal, and they said we're gonna hold off for an extension so we can
For now.
sign two
Different
superstars. I mean, I get it. It's a difference. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Moving on though. A couple more final thoughts, things here. The Warriors were eliminated. They lost the play-in game to Sacramento. Klay kind of looked a little sad after the game. He looked like he was looking around, kind of last game as a Warrior. Do you believe it's his last game as a Warrior?
To me, like, it's tough. I feel like he would fit nicely in a team like Orlando. I think a team like that could use a guy with experience like Klay does, and he just makes so much sense there. And you have a lot of other players that can sort of now cover for his like defensive liabilities. So maybe the Lakers is another potential place. Like, I'm willing to, I think it's 51-49, 51 that he comes back, 49 that he doesn't. That's how I feel with it.
Yeah, no, I think that's interesting. I'm gonna say he comes back. I think they'll give him somewhere around 20 to 22 million a year, like a tick above what Grayson Allen got with the Suns, which is 4 years, 70 million. It's gonna be interesting though if some random team like Detroit or the Spurs goes, hey, we have all this cap space. There's really no one to spend it on. Like if OG goes back to the Knicks, Pascal Siakam goes back to the Pacers. Really, the best free agents are like Klay and like James Harden. Like they might say, hey, here's 32 million a year to be a veteran leader and hit threes. He might leave for that. But my guess is he comes back, they bring the band back together. Because again, because they're so over the cap, it's not like they can take Klay's 40 million a year and sign somebody like a two-way guy, like a defensive player. Like it's either bring back Klay at a cheaper number or you just lose the asset. So I think they're just going to bring back Klay at a cheaper number.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, very tough. The playing games I think have been great, Chris, but unfortunately the Friday night ones may not be as good. Zion hurt; he's going to be out a few weeks. I don't think they're going to make it a few weeks without him. Jimmy Butler, same thing, and it's too bad because these have been pretty entertaining so far.
Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, like, the Pelicans were making a serious run against the Lakers. So it's a shame that didn't work out. That being said, the NBA probably prefer the Lakers in the spot that they were going to be in. The Bulls and Heat, it's tough. The Heat, like, it not having Jimmy Butler completely like eliminates the scary factor from them. Like, they're kind of like nobodies in my mind. And it's not fair. Obviously, if you lose your superstar player, that's going to happen, but no one's scared of playing them anymore.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think luckily for us, that was the one game of the NBA we were gonna miss since Mr. Breezy himself is getting married tomorrow. He picked a Friday wedding to not get in the way of a Knicks game one since he is a man of the people. So we thank him for that. We would have happily missed game one if that's what it took, but we don't have to. So thank you, Chris, and can't wait to celebrate with you tomorrow.
Thank you, buddy. I'm so excited. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And we can't wait to wrap up all these playoff series when they're over, and hopefully the Knicks are on the other side.
Can't wait. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back next week to discuss more NBA action.